This is Doug Miller. Do you know anyone who has the gift of healing? Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are delighted to be back with you one more time with the Word of God in hand to speak into this mic and to know indeed that this is going out to the blessing and perhaps to the salvation any of many. That's our prayer at any rate. We are in the fifth chapter of Acts, and once again, as with so much that goes on in the book of Acts, there is much controversy and disagreement sometimes about these things. So we just pray that you will come along, open your Bibles up, listen, and consider what I have to say on the subject, initially at least, about the gifts of healing. We may get a little farther into the fifth chapter than that, but we're going to start talking about the gift of healing and asking the question whether or not it actually exists today. We think you'll find it interesting. Call a friend. Tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out. And, of course, we are utterly and absolutely dependent on our listeners and interested parties for support for this nonprofit ministry. We would love to hear from you. Always glad to hear from our listeners. Our mailing address, Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. Now, if you didn't get that, Paul Sublett will give it to you at the end of the broadcast, so keep your writing materials handy. If you absolutely cannot sit down and write a letter by longhand, you can email us, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, at sbcglobal.net. That's Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. And we invite you to go on our webpage. That's also Dialogue Ministries, all one word, .org, O-R-G. And all of our messages are on there. You can pull them down and listen to them, and that costs you absolutely nothing. So let us hear from you. Okay, Book of Acts, Chapter 5. Now, I know, once again, I probably spend more time apologizing than I should, but I personally am a peace-loving man, and it's never pleasant for me to say things that upset people. Many of you out there who are listening to me believe very strongly in the sign gifts, tongues, healing, so on and so forth. And I want to tell you that I personally have never seen a healing like we see it in the Bible. And I have certainly never seen the healing gift operating today. But I've seen many that I consider outright charlatans, and many who may not be charlatans but are misled and misguided about what they are and what they have and what they are doing. Now, let me say right up front here, I do believe, and I have seen God heal as a result of prayer. I've seen people pray for others to be healed, and I've seen healing take place. And as often as not, it is as a result of a physician intervening somehow, and sometimes it's not. But healing in response to prayer is not the gift of healing. Not long ago, a close friend of mine died, a man I went to school with, high school, friend of mine sent us an email and said that he was sick and was in dire straits, and please pray for him because he didn't believe in doctors and was counting on the Lord to heal him. Well, he died. Did he die because he didn't have faith? I don't believe that for a minute. But I do believe that he was misguided about how the Lord is operating today. And it was a great tragedy and very sad for all of us who knew this man and loved him a great deal. The gift of healing. I, as I have said, have never seen it operate as we see it in Acts chapter 5, verse 12. And let's just read this. By the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Now, a friend of mine, M.W. Gibbs, used to have he was an auto mechanic. He had a garage. And a guy that he did business with came in to see him one day and invited him to go to a meeting that night, to a healing meeting. He said, "We've got a man down here with the gift of healing." Gibbs said, "Well, I'll bet you $100 he doesn't have." And the man was kind of angry at this and said, "What are you talking about? Of course he has." And he said, "Well, I'll go to the meeting with you tonight, but first I want to go by the Cripple Children's Hospital. We've got a child that I know who is in that hospital, who has been there for many years." And Gibbs described the child and the condition the child was in and said, "I'll bet you $100 that the man can't heal him." The man said, "Why, he can't heal something like that." Gibbs said, "Well, he doesn't have the gift of healing then." The gift of healing, friends, is what we saw the Lord Jesus evidence when he said to the man with the withered hand, "Stretch it forth." And when he stretched it forth, it was made as whole as the other. That is the gift of healing. The gift of healing is what we see described here, verses 12 through 16 of the fifth chapter of Acts. You'll notice they brought the sick out onto the streets and laid them in bed and couches so that just the shadow of Peter passing by would go over them. They brought in the multitude of the sick and lame and crippled out of the cities all around there, and those vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. How many of them? Every one of them. Now, if you know someone who has got the gift of healing, let that individual come forth and identify himself to me, and we will go, he and I, down to the children's hospital in this city where there are a multitude of sick children laying up there in those hospital beds and in hospital wards, children that will never walk again, it looks like. And if this man's really got the gift of healing, we'll empty that ward out real quick. But that's not going to happen, because the gift of healing as it existed back then, I've never seen it. I've never seen anyone healed in this way and just raised up instantly and restored. I know, once again, that there are many out there who will disagree with this and who will say, "Well, Miller, I mean, you just haven't got any faith." Well, I'll tell you where faith comes from. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith is not wishful thinking. And faith is not just, you know, if I hope hard enough, anything that I hope for will come to pass. It will not. God never operates outside his will or outside his word. And what we have in the book of Acts and in the Gospels with the Lord Jesus, incidentally, are true, verifiable gifts of healing. And I am telling you once more, purely and simply, that I don't see anything like this going on today. If I could see it, then maybe I would say, well, yeah, that's a true gift of healing. I want to see withered hands restored. I want to see people who can't walk being raised up. And those who haven't walked all of their lives, like the man that we already saw back in the third chapter, I want to see them springing up and walking. I don't see that. Now, one might ask then, well, can't the Lord do this? Sure, the Lord can do whatever he wants. He is absolutely able to do anything that he wants. And there's no question about that. The question is not, can the Lord do it? The question is, what is the Lord doing? And why is he doing it? God doesn't just do things. God is not on a leash. We don't trot him out at our convenience and put him to work and have him entertain us. God is not in the entertaining business. And God is not just available at our beck and call to do whatever we want. He always operates within his own will and for his own purposes. He is sovereign and he is master and he is Lord. Now, therefore, can we pray to God to heal people? Absolutely. Should we do this? Absolutely. Will he do it? Yes, he will do it within his own will. Within his own will. And for his own reasons and purposes. Can people be healed by God? Absolutely. Are we going to see anything today like what we saw in Jerusalem and that is recorded here in the fifth chapter of Acts? Well, I don't know. I can tell you that I've never seen it and that I don't think it's going on today. So one might ask, well, what's the purpose of this? And why was it done then and why is it not done today? The purpose of this, very simply and quite simply, and I'm not going to go into it at length at this time because I've already talked about this, but the purpose of this was to verify to Israel, that the church was now the vehicle through which God was moving and working to save people, that there was a change, that a change had taken place, and that these apostles who were speaking and preaching in the name of the Lord Jesus now were the ones upon whom authority rested, and they should be listened to. Why to Israel? Because, friends, if you will read back in the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, you will find out that Paul tells us very clearly the Jews require a sign. The Jews require a sign. I don't know of any place in the Scriptures where it is said that Gentiles require a sign. The Jews require a sign because they are a stubborn, stiff-necked people. God has repeatedly given them signs and miracles and wonders, and yet for all of that, they won't believe him. And yet God has many times in grace sent signs, miracles, and wonders among them. Well, if the Jews require a sign, what about the Gentiles? The Gentiles don't require signs. And as a matter of fact, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians, we walk by faith and not by sight. I say 2 Corinthians. Well, yes. We walk by faith and not by sight. Now, signs and wonders and miracles, if they appeal to anything, they appeal to the sight. Signs, sight, they go together hand in glove. But faith is not walking by sight. You've heard me say it on here before. I now say it again. Listen to me carefully. Whatsoever is not of faith is of sin, wrote Paul to the Romans. You're not walking by both faith and sight. Those two are mutually exclusive. You're doing one or the other. And by the grace of God and in God's love and mercy, we are those who are walking forward on faith. to the extent that I am demanding signs and miracles and wonders from God, I am deeply in sin. Let me tell you that right now. If I will not take God at his word, then I am in sin, and I am in sin big time. Now, once again, you can see the gift of faith at work here, or the gift of healing, rather, at work here. And you can see what it is. And if you will honestly ask yourself, I think you'll admit, you've never seen anything like this going on. Has it gone on in the past? Yes. Will it go on again in the future? Well, I don't know, but I know this. I don't know exactly what he's going to do, but we are told in Scripture that the Antichrist, the man of sin, the evil one, when he comes, will show great signs and wonders, insomuch that the very elect would be deceived if it were possible. If you are the kind demanding signs, miracles, and wonders before you will believe God, before you will take him at his word and go forward, you are making yourself a setting duck for the Antichrist, for the evil one. But the faith that saves takes God at his word and lays hold on that word and goes forward on faith and not by sight. Now, I beg you to listen to me carefully. If you think that these miracles and these signs and wonders and gifts are still in operation today and that God is using these today to prove himself to people, and boy, if you could just see all these miracles, you would believe. I don't know where you're coming from. You must be reading a different Bible than the one I have. Because back in the Gospels, if you will recall, the scribes and Pharisees came to the Lord Jesus and demanded that he give them some sign that he was Messiah. Now, it's real interesting they would have said that because he worked all sorts of miracles to prove that he was the man of Isaiah 60 and 61. But they demanded a sign, and he said, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign." So once again, I beg you, I implore you, take God at his word. Don't be trying to recreate what was happening in Acts again today. Acts is a transitional book, and we have this wonderful, this marvelous history of the early church to see and to show us how God was working then and how he was bringing about the wonderful things that he has brought about for us now. But it is our great privilege in this day of faith to walk and to live by faith and not by sight. And the day is coming, of course, when faith will give way to sight, when we will be home in glory. And we will see the Lord Jesus and see him as he is and see the prints in his hands and feet and the spear mark in his side, and we will be with him and know him exactly. And our faith will give way to sight. That's coming. But right now, it is our privilege to walk by faith and to glorify God by simply taking him at his word. Isn't that enough? All right, now we are getting down toward the end of the broadcast today. I want to say a few things about what we have in verses 13 and 14 of chapter 5 before we close out today. You will notice today, nowadays, the organized church, which in many cases is an absolute travesty, I don't mind telling you, they'll sign anyone up. You know, people join the church, whatever that means, for any number of reasons. And you can join the organization. All you've got to do is go down and learn how to say shibboleth the way they do, and they'll baptize you and put you on the rolls, and you can go to church every now and then, and, you know, of Christmas and Easter, you go down there and go through the motions. And the churches, the organized churches, are full of unsaved people who are on their way to hell just as fast as they can go. But the true church, which is not an organization but an organism, the body of Christ, is made up of those who have been born again by faith in the Lord Jesus and by the will and in the power and energy of God and the Holy Spirit. And God is sovereign in these matters. And, you know, you are either a member of the true church or you're lost and on your way to hell. And in the organized church, which is out here, which is full of baptized sinners who have never been saved, in the organized church, there are many people who indeed are saved and who are born again and are members of the organism, the body of Christ. And for those of us who are saved, I don't care what denominational name is stuck on the door of your church. I mean, we're all brothers and sisters. We are one together and in a unity. But look at what we have here back in those days. Of the rest, no man joined himself to them. No man joined himself to them. The ones who were outside, I mean, they weren't going and getting involved with these people. But it says here that the Lord added multitudes. And here we see what true salvation is all about. It's not me saying, well, I think I'll go down here and join the local such and such church because a lot of hotshot businessmen are in there and this will give me business contacts. It's not a matter of me going down here because I want to be in their sewing club or in their sewing circle and all of my friends are in it and we can have a good social time. Oh, I'm a singles and I'll join their single group. Maybe I'll meet a man or a woman or whatever it is I'm looking for. There are all kinds of people who are in the churches for all sorts of reasons, and they join themselves up. And the church is more than willing to sign them up, many of them. But that's not the church. And I am telling you, where you have saved people, it is because the Lord has joined them and added them to the believers. And it's a divine, supernatural act. Now, we're running out of time here. Let me ask all of you who are listening to me. Are you saved? Has there ever been a time when your eyes were opened and you heard the clear gospel that the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day, that he ascended back into heaven and entered that high and holy and lofty place with his own blood, our great high priest after the order of Melchizedek? Have you believed this? Have you been born again? That's what I'm asking. If you have not been, if you have never been confronted with the fact that you need to believe and trust in the Lord and cast yourself wholly on him for his mercy, if that hasn't happened to you, why not? What's keeping you right now from trusting the Lord and allowing him to come in and declaring his lordship over you and believing in him? It's a terrible thing to be lost and in darkness, and it is extremely terrible when you consider that you don't have to be. Why don't you trust the Lord right now? This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.